answering all your questions about pickle wraps and NFL drafts, semi-live from a studio. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
How we doing?
Good, how are you?
Oh, it's a great day, dude.
Yeah, it's nice.
It is. Nice. Nice to be here.
There's no tornado warnings.
Zero. No.
No hail.
Not here. not currently. Here. Yeah, man. It's a good day.
Yeah.
It's a good sports weekend.
There was.
It truly, truly was.
Yeah.
I guess if your team wasn't recently in a Super Bowl, it's kind of like the Super Bowl of the NFL season is the NFL draft day.
I mean, it's one of the last things now that for the NFL. Now it kind of goes, okay, bring on training camp in June or July, and then.
For you, does it start the season or does it end the season for you?
It almost. It's both.
Yeah, it is. Know? Okay.
Because we have the combine, and then we have the draft, which happened last week. So it's like that kind of sums up. Because, I mean, after the Super Bowl, you're like right there, the combine's a month later.
Yeah.
And then the draft's a month later. And now it's like, okay, I get to step away for a little while before I got to figure out who I need to draft in my fantasy leagues.
Yes, no, 100%. That is the vacation. You take a look at who your favorite team drafted. Start plugging some of the holes that you knew your team had.
Right.
And kind of see where that stacks up. Because now there's a little bit of movement on every one of these rosters.
Well,
right?
All of them, because, I mean, it's the rosters, there's no limit. I mean, there is a limit, but, I mean, you get mini rookie camps that all these teams invite anybody that wasn't drafted. So you can invite, I mean, and there's actually players that teams are giving contracts to without having to do that invite. Saying you're going to go here at least because you have a 90-man team.
You have a 90-man roster at this point in your season. Yep.
Yep. Not including the practice squad or whatever, but you have 90 men and the guys on your team to kind of figure out what's what and where to plug them in. But I know Minnesota signed 3 players to contracts.
Already?
Minimum. Yeah, already.
Sweet deal. Yeah.
One of them was a 3-year, no matter what.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, you got to figure guys like that. That deal has to be before the draft, right? Like, hey, if you don't get drafted, we got you.
Right.
Because it happens very quickly, and it really kind of saves your space in line.
So what also helps is that, you know, the last several seasons, we've been ranked by all the players as one of the top 5 franchises.
Sure.
Between facilities and ownership and everything. So that helps. You know,
it does, because the agents know these things. The agents want their players to go in a place where they're going to be the most comfortable.
I mean, it's why Kyler wanted to come to the Vikings.
True.
It was the best situation. I mean, and we've been good. I mean, the last couple of years, we kind of like, okay, what's going on? But, well, not 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we were really good because we couldn't save the guy and keep him. Whatever.
I say, I didn't want to wreck your optimism.
Last year
kind of was,
we still were 9-8. Whatever. there's that. But it's all that stuff, and it'll kind of take a break for me anyway. I can kind of take a step back.
Yes.
Hoping my Timberwolves do something now.
They're ahead in the series. I mean, they're winning a postseason series against the Nuggets, so that's something.
Not really. They're not. Right now they are.
Yeah, they're ahead in the series.
Ant is out for who knows.
Yes.
Dante
DiVincenzo. Close, though. Good work. Yes. That's very,
out.
Very close.
He's out till next year.
Yes. No, Timberwolves always seem to come together as a playoff team, and against the Nuggets. I've watched a bit of that because Jokic, the player for the Nuggets, former MVP, is
crybaby.
Super big crybaby, but super fun to watch because he's just a big slow dude and makes all the right plays, and I kind of like that.
But that's where I'm at. I mean, NBA, I mean, we all know I don't follow baseball as much as I should, and I still haven't really.
No, you don't have to. Your Twins are not that good. You don't have to sweat it. Yeah.
They're good for a hot minute.
You're okay. You've got about a month to catch up on yard work. You've got about a month of,
valid.
You know, that's your season right now. Yeah, but a month from now is when we will start rookie camps for some of the players that have been.
May?
Yeah. Yeah. We're at the beginning of May, give or take.
Yeah. I think they don't start till June.
June. Oh, okay.
Month and a half.
You got a month and 6 weeks of yard work.
Because usually it's around my birthday in June.
To be fair, there's a lot of yard work to do. So 6 weeks is plenty. 6 weeks is plenty to get that done.
Chainsaw 40 trees.
Well, do you want to talk about the draft or do you want to talk about yard work?
No, I don't want to talk about yard work because I got to do it this weekend.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about it. We just got to do it. That's a fact. Yeah,
right.
So your Vikings, let's talk first about the Vikings.
Why?
Who they drafted? You want to talk Packers?
I'm great with that. Talk Packers first.
I am fine talking Packers draft class.
Yep.
I was saying off the air, that's for not having a first round pick.
Right.
They, which was part of the Micah Parsons trade.
Yep.
It wasn't the entirety of the trade. They gave up two first round picks and they gave up a player for Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons played extremely well and then got hurt. As a result, the Packers did not win any playoff games. The Packers did not do anything real exciting.
But she also had a lot of injuries.
A lot of injuries to everyone, to be fair.
But other teams had injuries, but they had backups.
Packers did not. So this year they went into it without a first-round draft pick, which does kind of hamper your excitement about a draft just in general. Like, I know I was listening on the radio to the first round of the draft. I wasn't watching.
I watched it.
I didn't, you know, I just there wasn't anything for any of my favorite team is the Arizona Cardinals. They had the number 3 pick in the draft, and we'll talk about that. We will
talk about that one.
My interest in the Packers was, I mean, I watch them every week. I've been, you know, so they had needs. Without a first round pick, they still had needs. They needed a starting cornerback. I've been saying since the offseason started that if you go into your next season with Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine as your starting cornerbacks,
right,
you're going to lose 10 games.
Also, back up, you lost players in this offseason.
They lost. Rashawn Gary is gone. Kingsley Engenbare, another edge rusher, is gone. They lost
Dontavius Wicks.
They traded Dontavius Wicks to the Eagles.
That's right.
Romeo Doubs went to the Patriots.
Yep.
Quay Walker, starting linebacker, is now starting linebacker for the Raiders.
Hmm.
Yeah, they missed. So they had a lot of holes to fill.
Right.
They got in the second round, pick number 52, a guy named Brandon Cisse, a cornerback out of South Carolina, I believe.
Yep.
Super young. He's only 20 years old.
Interesting.
Has all the, they say he's got the number one cornerback skill set. He's 6 feet tall. He's a 200-pounder. He runs real well. No real red flags there as far as injury concerns or anything else. So they got a guy at number 52 that will push for a starting job. That was,
and he's not in the first round, so he has a chance.
Correct. And because that's exactly right. No, you're on to something there. Some teams don't nail their first round picks like they should, and the Packers are one of those teams. The third round, they got themselves a defensive tackle.
Yep.
Don't know a lot about him, but he was ranked right where they drafted him.
Okay.
Felt like the right move. In the fourth round, they got their edge rusher. There was a guy out of Penn State, hyphenated last name.
Yep.
But
Danny Dennis Sutton.
He was a 4-year guy at Penn State, played all 4 years, good. Was real productive, more than 10 sacks. Was looked at as a guy they could have got for pick number 52, but they ended up getting him in the middle of the fourth round, and he will, I think he's going to play a bigger role than with Micah Parsons out early, with Engenbare and Rashawn Gary both not on the roster. This fourth round pick has a chance to see the field immediately.
Assuming Parsons comes back at the start of the season.
And it doesn't look like he will. He might miss a chunk. But this guy looks like can put him in and project him to hold his own as a fourth rounder. Fifth rounder, the Packers do what the Packers do. They drafted themselves a versatile interior lineman that will one day start and replace, I'm going to guess Sean Ryan at the center position.
Sure.
He was looked at when they drafted him. It's always interesting when they say he's got future starter ability when they draft him in the fifth round, but is what it is, you know. So they got there, they needed a lineman because they lost Elton Jenkins in the offseason. They lost another offensive lineman in the left tackle in the offseason to the Jaguars, I believe. So they needed a lineman to fill some depth. They did that,
got a backup, maybe cornerback,
and they got another cornerback in the sixth round because
Alabama, though,
you get that. Yep, they he's got a good, you know. He projects, got good measurables. He went to a huge school, was before the season a top 50 cornerback, got injured.
And then their last pick of the 2026 NFL draft.
Classic Packer style. They traded 2 7th-round picks to move up to the bottom of the sixth round to pick a kicker.
Trey Smack.
I mean, I guess if you're going to pick a kicker, have his last name be Smack. Trey Smack. I mean, you're kicking field goals, right? Like, how greatly named is that guy? I root for it. However, the last time the Packers drafted a kicker in the sixth round was Anders Carlson, and he was replaced by the end of the year. So I want to believe that that works out because Brandon McManus was not good this year, And a kicker has a lot of influence on a game. So, all in all, yeah, I'd say, looking at that, they've filled the holes that they could have.
Sure.
Undrafted free agents, they got themselves a wide receiver or two. Josh Jacobs' younger brother, who is a running back at University of Central Florida, is now in rookie camp with the Packers. So that's kind of a cool story, too. Going into the season, I think it answered the questions that I had for their roster.
Sure.
Now the questions really, honestly, are the guys who are now in place for the Packers, right? Like, Matthew Golden is now has to be a number one. Christian Watson has to stay healthy. Jalen Reed has to be more than a gadget guy. Tucker Kraft has to come back healthy. Jordan Love has to take the leap. Your offensive linemen have to now, first and second round guys, have to step up and play. So those are big ifs, you know, because that doesn't always work. It's not a Madden franchise video game where they just automatically do well. You know, some of those guys are going to struggle. On defense, too, you're missing key players. The Packers are still, like every team, one injury away in that secondary.
Who's your backup quarterback?
Unknown. Desmond Ridder, currently, who was your practice squad guy, who was a former third-round pick a number of years ago, played in the XFL, you know, kind of, but they needed a quarterback. Inevitably,
quarterback journeyman at this point.
He is now a quarterback journeyman.
Yeah, he hasn't done bad. Who do you back up before? He was at Minnesota off and on.
He was at Carolina. He was drafted by Atlanta.
Right.
So he's a well-traveled vet, and the Packers have a track record of developing backup quarterbacks now. Have for a number of years. Heck, they developed Jordan.
I'm surprised they didn't draft one.
Me too, actually. That would have been the one spot if they would have, instead of trading two seventh round picks for a kicker. Silly. You could have drafted a developmental quarterback. Sure. You know, like,
there's still a couple decent ones.
Always seems to be. Yeah. You could have got Nussmeier out of LSU in the seventh round. Yep. That would have been okay. That Talon Green out of Arkansas was a sixth round pick by the Cleveland Browns.
All the good quarterbacks are going next year anyway.
I mean, what are the odds? We can talk about that, because that's something in the NFL I keep hearing is next year is going to be the year where...
Well, what's his name? Was it Dylan Gabriel that didn't... Mm-hmm. He was going to come out and to the draft and decided to stay another year. He was projected
Dante Moore out of... Well, here's the thing is...
Not Dylan Gabriel.
Do you know what year was supposed to be the year of the quarterback?
This year.
Garrett Nussmeier was supposed to be a Heisman Trophy winner, first rounder. Drew Allard out of Penn State was supposed to be a first rounder, has been since his freshman year. All of these guys were supposed to be first round. Carson Beck, the guy drafted in the third round by my Arizona Cardinals, was supposed to be a first round lock. Quinn Ewers from... That went to Miami.
That's the messed up part about all the quarterback stuff.
It absolutely is.
Is that they have one down year when they've been doing fantastic prior to that. Especially, take Carson Beck. I mean, he was in the championship.
He finished second in the national championship game. Played college for 5 years. Has a resume built on success.
He's got experience, you know. But he went the third round to Arizona. That might be a good pick.
It may be. Not a lot of third round picks make it to be extremely successful,
we're overdue for that third round, fourth round pick.
That's true. Every couple of years that does happen, but it does make you question when a team's strategy is based on, we'll get our quarterback next year.
Right.
Because I would like to think that Arch Manning or Dante Moore or a number of these guys, but Fernando Mendoza was not looked at as a number one overall pick at the beginning of the year.
It's like J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah,
if he would have waited a year, played one more year,
he would have been
probably a number one last year.
Correct. Yep. So the thought that all these teams that they don't have their quarterback, if he wouldn't be, you wish he wouldn't have been with the Vikings. Yeah. So this quarterback thing, where next year they've listed 10 quarterbacks that are difference makers that we can't wait to get. There is no way that 10 quarterbacks are coming out and into the league next year and are going to become starters in the NFL. There aren't. Every year, there isn't five new quarterbacks.
Well, whether or not they should be or shouldn't be starters, if they're drafted in the first round, typically they're gonna start.
I mean, I cannot picture a scenario where there are 9 quarterbacks taken in the first round of next year's NFL draft, right? Like, 9 teams don't need a starting quarterback. So
not yet.
It's interesting to me when it's always, because you need to develop a quarterback. Tells you just how hard it is to develop.
Right.
Quarterback's the most important position in football, is the least well-developed, consistent in all of sports. It's remarkable to me.
Right. The fact that, like, Green Bay,
mm-hmm.
they've done...
Please tell me something that Green Bay has done well, Vikings fan. Yeah.
The quarterback.
Yes.
They have done that the right way.
Going back all the... I mean, I'll take you back 30 years to make that. It was Mikowski to Favre to Rodgers to Love.
Right, but they waited. They developed him.
Yes.
And I think there's been... We wait on the Vikings.
Brett Favre sat for two years. Aaron Rodgers sat for three. Jordan Love sat
Atlanta
for three.
Atlanta traded him.
Yeah, Atlanta. Well, it was also a make... It's a thing this year that... Brett Favre was a second-round pick. Brett Favre was the 33rd pick in the draft. He sat on the bench in Atlanta for 2 years. Green Bay came along and gave Atlanta a first-round draft pick for a nobody.
Right.
I can't imagine that trade taking place nowadays. It was Ron Wolf. Nailed it. I mean, you couldn't think of a better... Giving up a first-round pick for a quarterback that didn't even start the next year for you has set the Packers up for success as a track record for a very long time.
But that's what we're talking about, though, is these teams give up on the quarterback so fast. I mean, bad teams. So, Jets.
Yes.
Look at Sam Darnold.
Yeah. If they would have held him for two more years.
That's like the litmus right now is Sam Darnold. Is the journeyman, and all of a sudden he won a Super Bowl. Baker Mayfield, go to the bad franchise because you're one, two, or three, pick. Well, those teams that get those picks are bad.
And that's the thing, is those teams that get these number one picks aren't just bad at the quarterback position.
Right.
They are bad into their depth. Like, these teams can't hire... You know why you're bad for a real long time? Because your GM is bad.
Or your owner.
And your owner is... I was just going to take it all the way. Your owner hires a bad GM who doesn't make correct football decisions, who doesn't put the right people on the field... So you lose a lot of games. So you bring in top-tier talent at the top of the draft.
I mean, how many times have we seen teams, Cleveland, the Jets, who's another bad team that always just doesn't get...
The Raiders. The Raiders
have gotten... Oh, they've gotten the worst, though, for the most part.
Yes.
But only do those teams that realize we need to do this the right way, do they figure it out. I think the Raiders, I think, will be... This year they'll be the Washington Redskins. How they almost went to the national, or they went to the,
big difference. One huge difference, because I agree, but the thing that took the Washington Commanders from the cellar to contention to relevancy wasn't Jalen Daniels. It wasn't their head coach knew. It was getting rid of Daniel Snyder, their ownership.
They also got a franchise quarterback.
Until the Raiders get rid of Mark Davis, the owner, or until the Browns get rid of Jimmy Haslam, the owner, those teams are going to struggle.
Jets,
Baker,
owner.
Same deal. Woody Johnson for the Jets. Those are the three worst owners in football. And their teams, no matter who they have, are going to fail because of the ownership. And
Carolina's in there.
Carolina, too. David Tepper.
Yes.
Yep. He's horrible. Classic bag of awful.
Classic bag of awful.
He owns a lot of things, and one of them is the Carolina Panthers. So yes, which is why I always say that it's the biggest advantage of having no ownership for the Packers. You will never have a bad owner. Your owner is a well-qualified, the CEO of the Packers, right?
Right.
Is a well-qualified individual with a business degree who understands how to function in the business world. He hires football people to do football stuff. That's the
owner.
And
you'd also add, you don't totally answer to the fans. But they are owners.
You have a stockholders meeting where you sit down in front of the people who are
if
your
they
bosses.
Don't, if they don't like it.
They will get loud about it.
Yep.
But no matter how loud the Raiders fans get, Mark Davis will not sell until somebody offers him way more $1 billion than
and
he
I don't
paid
think
for it.
Because it was his dad's.
Yeah.
You're not
going to...
That's
gonna, his legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So that for me is where you're at. Like, until you're... Bad franchises are replaced by good ownership, because Minnesota was not a laughing stock, but they weren't doing it right under the Wilt family, right? Like, they were missing something.
Well, we were.
You were missing.
We just never got the quarterback right.
Yep.
Ever. I mean, even that 1 year that we got Favre, he's still a retread, and he did great until those cheating Saints did some stuff.
Because the Vikings have had Dante, Warren Moon, Randall Cunningham,
Dante Culpepper.
They've never had, like I said, their ownership was missing something. And I don't know who the current group is, but they seem a little smarter about their stuff. They seem a little more professionally run organization.
Still the Wolves.
Is it still? I thought they sold.
Ziggy Wolf?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those guys? No. Oh, no.
Oh, well, maybe that. But sometimes maybe that's why they haven't won a Super Bowl
the
yet.
The good owners are the ones that go, okay, I'm doing this wrong. Let's do it right.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we had Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had success.
Take a look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yep.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers in our lifetime were the worst franchise in football. They were what the Lions were. They were over. They were just terrible. And then they got good ownership before, and then now they've been to Super Bowls, right? Like they've won multiple Super Bowls with different groups, but it took new ownership.
The big scheme, though, it's everything. It's ownership, the GM, the coach, the coaching who does the assistants and all that. I mean, it takes every bit of them, but it starts with ownership and down.
It's always the owners. The best owners of any business know what they do well. And they know what they don't do well.
Denver Broncos.
Correct. Yeah.
Waltons.
They've stayed out of the way. Pat Bolden was an owner before. Right. And he was kind of a meddler. The Waltons know how to run a business. They run Walmart. They know how to run the Denver Broncos. And since then, the last 5 years, they're relevant. They hired the right coach. They hired Sean Payton, who then hired the right GMs, who then drafted the right players that put them in a position. So that's where, you know, if you're the Vikings, your draft kind of looks up and down, looks a little bit, but if you trust in your GM...
The problem is with that,
yes,
he's an interim GM.
Correct.
Technically fighting for a position.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's auditioning and interviewing for that job. I've heard other rumblings of other, like, current assistant general managers that are more qualified.
Sure.
I don't know this guy. I mean, he's been on the Vikings for 19 years,
which tells me he's not going to get fired at this point. If he would have gotten if this interim GM he could have gone out with the bathwater when they fired the head general manager too. He could have gone with him. Clearly, but like I said, making trades. They also traded 2 third-round picks during the draft for
Jonathan
Grenard, who was a productive player when healthy for the Vikings over the last couple of years, was a free agent signing
this last year, especially last year with the down year we had, all the injuries, and we've just really the last 2 years have been just kind of buying retreads.
Oh yeah.
You know, we haven't been since Kwesi, we haven't been developing anything, really. Except for, you know, just one or two that have been still on the team in the last 4 years, 5 years.
Of course, the hard part now is in order to draft and develop a team, you have to be willing to take these lumps. Like, you can't... 9-8, if you're developing your team, you're not going to be 9-8 next year. One of these teams has to be the bottom of the division, right? If I was going to look at the NFC North after the draft, Bears are on top of that division.
Yeah, right now.
The Lions are second.
I mean, they didn't look that great either last year.
They still got their quarterback.
And they lost people.
They have lost a lot of people. I still have faith.
Coaches.
I still think that they have the best coach in the division.
Yeah. No.
I think
like Dan Campbell. I do like him.
I like his style.
So for 2 times a year, I don't.
You know, I like he. I wish he was the coach for my team.
He's that old school.
Yeah.
Just tough and just calls the way it is for sure.
But it's a blend. It's a mix because Dan Campbell was a football player in the 2000s. So he's closer to our generation than he is an old school coach. But since he played for a lot of old school coaches, he's got that in him. He's got that Bill Parcells kind of.
But last year, it caught up with him being just
trying
to do
it all.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I can do it all.
Yep. You know, taking the chances.
But I don't think that team has their quarterback and have paid a bunch of people and has the best left tackle in football and has so much best running back maybe in football. That's a team that should win.
But they also traded him, the other one.
They should win 10 to 14 games nearly without thinking about it.
Right. Well,
the Bears are on the up. They're definitely not a team that I would project to lose 10 games. The Packers got a lot of questions. I don't think they most certainly aren't better than last year.
Sure.
They're, in theory, healthier than last year, except for Micah Parsons. Like they're not a rebuilding team either, because they're paying their quarterback a ton of money. You're paying your defensive players a ton of money. So the only team left in that division that can tank it out, that can work it, is the Vikings. For me, they are the most likely team in the division to lose more than 10 games, I feel like. Just because Murray could be, but your backup to Kyler Murray is not. Your backups in nearly, like I said, they're one injury away like everybody is.
But they addressed that in the draft, I think, in some free agent stuff. They didn't do a lot of free agency. I mean, they only picked up a couple people.
But we've said this before. They did their work in free agency over the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, I mean,
unfortunately, you're seeing the results of it now.
Yeah, because Ryan Kelly retired because of concussions.
Jonathan Greenard, a guy you signed 2 years ago, you traded him for 2 third-round picks.
Which, I'll take it.
Yeah.
They were shooting for a second
that's
round.
That's a rebuild to me. That is what a rebuild feels like.
When you don't
like.
Have your franchise quarterback yet, absolutely, for sure.
You're trying anything you can to kind of fill in the spots. But yeah, because I think that too is the Vikings are the only team in that division that do not have their franchise quarterback. Right. And as I've said before, if you don't have your franchise quarterback, you had
a franchise quarterback 2 years ago and
tried.
That's why our GM's fired.
Right. No, but, again, you miss on that quarter. That's why I said that there's 10 quarterbacks in the draft next year that are your franchise quarterback, but there's a real good chance about 8 of them are not.
And what we always say about, you know, your first round rookie quarterbacks, if they're your guy like Caleb Williams or anything like that, is that it helps you spread the money other places.
It also, in theory, gives your GM an extra year or your coaching staff an extra year to sort of say, see, we're trying to develop this guy.
Except for Chicago when they moved to Indiana.
Did they officially?
No, I don't know. They're close.
That's such a funny story. We will make an entire joke story about that. Right. I'm going to enjoy.
It's not one thing and another with Chicago.
Right? The Purdue Bears. That'll be exciting.
That doesn't seem right at
all. No, it does not.
We got a minute left already.
Did we really? And we didn't even talk about anything. Way to go, buddy. I
Brewers
like this.
Are doing what the Brewers do at this time of the year.
The Brewers are brewing. They're currently at 500.
Twins weren't winning, and now they're not.
Now they're twinning. Yep. No. Nope, that's really what else
Your
happened.
Bucks got a new coach.
The Bucks did officially get a new coach. They hired Taylor Jenkins, former Memphis Grizzlies coach, who at was an assistant to Mike Budenholzer, who was fired.
Who Giannis liked.
They're kind of all sort of connected. It doesn't matter. Taylor Jenkins is the right hire. I don't know who else is out there, but you need a coach because the draft is coming.
Yeah.
Wow. Did we really? We didn't talk about we got a Facebook page for our view from the bleachers. Yeah. I'm going to spend a couple of days kind of uploading some stuff, getting some videos about maybe our pre-show stuff and some posts and likes and things I like.
That's
on
really
sports.
Ambitious.
I'm going to try. I'm not real savvy, but I'm going to give her a whirl.
Okay.
So everybody, have a wonderful weekend. See you soon. Bye.